welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and in this hour, comedy. Later on, The Front Page is adapted on the Academy Award Theater, but first, it's Fibber McGee and Molly in an NBC broadcast from October 9th, 1945.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax products for home and industry present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. What makes the difference between a car that's dull and one that shines? Johnson's car knew. We'd like to introduce to you two well-known pedestrians who have just decided to become motorists. Yes, the folks at 79 Wistful Vista have made up their minds to buy a new car. As new as you can get one now, anyway. And here, looking over the want ads, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Well, what's in the papers, Daddy?
Lots of wonderful cars being advertised. Cadillacs, Lincolns, Packards, Apperson Jackrabbits. Hey, here's an interesting one.
Read it in your well-modulated voice.
It says, 1939 coupe by school teacher with leather rumble seat, knee action and custom-built body.
Is she a blonde or brunette? Or does she have a convertible top?
Don't say.
How much is it?
Don't say that either. It just says, bring an honest face.
Oh. Well, that'll be easy. You can take me.
Mm-hmm. Say, here's an ad that looks good, Molly. Bantams for sale.
Oh, I've always wanted one of those little cars. Mm-hmm. How much are they?
Hens, $3. Rooster. Oh, no. I'm on the wrong page. This is livestock.
Look, dearie, why don't we just go downtown and prowl through the used car lot?
Not a bad idea, Snooky. I like to walk around poking the upholstery and kicking the tires.
Anybody who would kick a tire these days is taking his life in his feet. Besides, it isn't...
Come in.
Oh, hello, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, my dear. And a curt nod of recognition to you, pickled puss.
Well, vaccinate my goldfish if it isn't the old belly thumper himself. What's new in the world of medicine, witch doctor, as if you'd know?
I see where Mayor Latrivia has appointed you health commissioner, doctor. Congratulations.
Thank you, Molly. After squawking my head off for 20 years about sanitary conditions in this town, I am now in a position where I have to do something about it or shut my big fat mouth.
You ain't yodeling the Indian love call there, Bonebender. When do you take office?
January 1st. Why?
I just wondered how much longer it'd be safe for us to drink our city water. Make a note of that, Molly. The first of the year, we start using bottled water.
Don't be insulting, dearie. I'm sure Dr. Gamble will be a wonderful health commissioner.
Among them city hall vultures, he'll just be a boob in the woods. Them ward healers will hamstring him so he can't prescribe an aspirin tablet without a referendum.
On the contrary, my boy, I will have the freest hand of any health commissioner in history.
Why, doctor?
Due to my high ethical standards, my dear, I hesitate to use the word blackmail. Hmm? But Alderman McClutchy would find it difficult to explain why I had to remove a pearl earring from his larynx when his wife does not wear earrings. And City Treasurer Fink might not care to have it bruited about that he broke his leg leaping out the second-story window of a gambling joint. I am not quoting actual names, you understand, but you get the idea. Yes, I think the lads will treat the new commissioner with considerable courtesy.
Doc, I've underrated you.
Thank you. I underrate you, too.
Gee, thanks. You're not just saying that because you admire me.
Yes, I am. And now I think I'd better be going. I have a delicate operation waiting for me at the hospital.
Something real fancy, eh, Doc?
Yes, I have to tell one of our wealthier patients to get up and go home. His hangover has progressed from the amusing to the obnoxious. Goodbye, Molly. See you later, loose lip, I'm afraid.
Isn't he a sweet old character?
He's an insulting old curmudgeon. Hey, what's a curmudgeon?
Search me, dearie. I know what a cur is, but I wouldn't know about mudgeons. Hadn't we better be going downtown to look for a car?
Yeah, I guess we better have. You all ready?
Well, I will be just as soon as I put my face on. Mm-hmm. Now, you lock the door.
Okay, I'll get everything down here. Ah, there goes a good kid. She knows buying a car these days is pretty chancy. And she knows what a bum driver I am. But is she worried? Scared stiff. Is she going to let me know she's scared? No siree. Not till 20 seconds after I stick that key in the ignition. All right, George, if she... Come in.
Hi, mister.
Well, slice me down the middle and call me Slim. If it isn't little Teeny.
Yeah.
Hi, Teeny.
Hi. What you doing, mister? What you doing? Watch ya.
Well, sis, I and Mrs. McGee are about to go car buying. Mommy and Poppy shopping for a jalopy.
Gee, that's dandy, mister. Why don't you get a car that the top goes up and down on it and buy it while the top is down? Why don't you?
Well, now, there must be some glimmering of sense behind that idea, sis, but I don't seem to get it. Why should I buy a car that the top's down?
No ceiling. That was a joke.
Yeah. If I ever want to saw my way out of a radio program, sis, I'll borrow your gag file. Now, if you'll excuse me,
Hey, mister, what kind of a car are you going to buy? My daddy has a cab.
Not only has, he is. Frankly, Teeny, we don't know exactly what we want as yet. We're going to romp through a few used car lots and take a gander at the situation.
Huh?
What do you think of the Stanley Steamer?
Well,
I might go for a station wagon if I can find a good bargain.
Oh, my daddy doesn't like station wagons. You know why?
No, why?
It's because he doesn't like police dogs.
Oh, I see. Have I got my pajamas on, sis?
Oh, no. Oh,
that's good. I was afraid I was dreaming this whole conversation. Tell me, Madam Interlocutor, why doesn't your daddy like station wagons because he hates police dogs?
Well, he had a station wagon once, and somebody told him a station wagon didn't look good unless it had a police dog in it.
Uh-huh.
So he got a police dog in it, sat in the front seat with it,
uh-huh.
And a cop stopped him one day when he was going too fast,
uh-huh.
And he asked my daddy why he didn't let his friend drive because he looked more intelligent than my daddy.
Well, I've seen your old daddy. And I've seen police dogs, and I'm inclined to agree with the...
Stop! I will not listen.
Okay.
My daddy is a good, kind man, and he's always given me a quarter for a soda. I will not stand here and listen to unkind remarks about him.
Well, I've given you plenty of quarters for sodas myself, sis.
Not lately, I bet you.
Okay. Okay, here's a quarter. Means I'll have to buy a cheaper car, but who cares?
Thank you, mister. Now then, what were you saying about my daddy?
I said he looks like a police dog.
I know it.
And he's a stuck-up snob in the second place.
Isn't he, though?
He thinks because he's cashier in a bank that anybody worth less than $200,000 is a hobo.
You hit the nail on the head that time,
mister. He's the only guy in town that wears a gardenia. I hate guys that wear gardenias. And furthermore...
That's all, mister. That's all. That's two bits worth. Goodbye now.
Billy Mills and the orchestra and No Can Do.
Say, this is a pretty good-looking assortment of cars.
Oh, look, McGee, that's awfully cheap for that beautiful car, isn't it?
Where?
That one right there.
Huh?
It says Packard 120.
Oh.
Isn't that quite a bargain?
That ain't the price, Mommy. That's the name of the car.
How do you do, sir? Good day, madam.
How do you do, I'm sure.
You the mastermind in this rattletrap roundup, bud?
I am, sir. My name is Stanley Stutz.
I'll bet you're a bear cat of a salesman, Stan.
Yeah.
You get it, Molly? Stutz? Bear cat? You see, there used to be a car.
It ain't funny, McGee.
It ain't?
No, sir, it ain't. I mean, it isn't. It's a common delusion, sir, that jokes referring to a person's name are excruciatingly funny.
Yeah?
But they are usually painfully repetitious to the subject. Your bearcat witticism is exceedingly threadbare, so far as I'm concerned.
Well, I bet it is at that. You're the gentleman an apology, McGee.
She's right, bearcat. I apologize.
That's quite all right, sir. Now then, may I show you something?
Yes, what?
Yeah. I mean, did you wish to see some of our stock?
You betcha, Bearcat. You mind if I call you Bear? You know, short for Bearcat.
No, not at all, sir. You mind if I call you Pole?
No. Now, boys, let's get to business.
How about that green sedan over there, Stan, old man? That looks in pretty good shape.
Oh, that car's not for sale, sir. Now, over here we have a splendid little car, a late model 7-cylinder Dillingham. Good rubber, new battery.
Did you say 7 cylinders?
Yes, madam.
What became of the other cylinder?
What other cylinder?
Isn't it supposed to have 8?
Oh, no, madam. This is a 6-cylinder car. We added an extra cylinder ourselves as a special premium.
Oh.
Well, I will say, Mr. Strode.
Stutz.
Excuse me. I will say, Mr. Stutz, that all your cars look beautiful.
Yeah. Must keep a guy around here just to clean them up for you, bud.
Oh, we do.
So.
Oh, that lad over there takes great pride in them. Oh, I say, boy, did you polish that new Lincoln we just got in?
Yes, Mr. Stutz. Looks beautiful, too, after that Johnson's car new treatment.
Something wrong, folks?
No, not a thing. In fact, everything is very much as usual.
That, the fellow you just spoke to, Stan, is he, a new boy around here?
Yes, he wandered in this morning.
Uh-huh.
I asked him if he was in the market for a car, and he said no. He just had a morbid interest in dusty, dirty cars.
I see.
You know him?
I've seen him someplace.
Tell the truth, McGee. We see him every place. Yoo-hoo, Mr. Wilcox.
Well, hello there, Molly. Hello, pal. Oh, you know Mr. and Mrs. McGee, Mr. Stutz?
Sufficiently, I think.
What you doing here, Junior, which is the silliest question of the week?
Oh, you know how I am, pal. When I see a dingy-looking automobile, I've got to get out the Johnson's car new and show the world how easy it is to transform it into a showroom model.
Just a minute, son. These people and I were discussing business. Why don't you go back to work like a good lad?
Yes, sir, Mr. Stutz. See you later, folks.
Good day, Mr. Wilcox.
So long, Waxy. Well, you got a good boy there, Stutzy.
Yeah, I hope you can keep him.
Well, I rather doubt it. He's only paying me $5 a day to let him polish these cars. Well, back to business, folks. Now, this Hudson Roadster over
here... Now, wait a minute, Cy. That green sedan in the back there is just the kind
now,
of
Mr. McGee, I thought I'd made it clear that green sedan is not for sale.
You wouldn't be holding out on us, would you, Stan, old horse?
No, sir. It is merely that it lacks equipment for delivery. Now, you take this car here, Mr. McGee. It's only been driven 12,000 miles. It belonged to an elderly lady who used it only to do her marketing.
Well, she must have been a quaint old character. She left a package of chewing tobacco in the front seat.
Well,
And there's a street map of Honolulu sticking out of the glove compartment. What was she marketing for, ukuleles?
Well, she was, Oh, excuse me a minute. I hear my telephone. Just look around all you like, folks, now.
Say, why do you suppose he doesn't want to sell us that green sedan, McGee?
That's easy. He's holding it for a friend. But by George, if he thinks for 1 minute that he can
Wait a minute, dearie. There goes Mrs. Carstairs. Huh? Yoo-hoo, Mrs. Carstairs. Yoo-hoo.
Ah, why didn't you let her go on past? She gets under my skin like a tattooed dragon.
Well, my goodness, suppose she does act a little like a coquettish dray horse. She's a fine woman. Well, imagine meeting you down here, Mrs. Carstairs.
Oh, how do you do, my dear? Are you alone? Oh. Well, I see you're approximately alone. Good day, Mr. McGee.
Hi, Carsty. I'm surprised to see you up and around today.
Why, Mr. McGee?
Well, judging by the newspapers, that must have been quite a wingding you flung at your mansion last night.
The wingding, as you so vulgarly express it, Mr. McGee, was in honor of Sir Humphrey Ramsbottom, the British consul, and his daughter, Lady Murgatroyd.
Oh.
The affair was notable for its complete dignity, and I regret that the newspapers reported it for the derision of the hoi polloi.
The what, Mrs. Carstairs?
The hoi polloi, my dear. A Greek word meaning the masses.
Oh, you speak Greek, Kirsty?
Yes.
Oh, say something in Greek for us, Mrs. Carstairs.
Hoi polloi.
Thanks.
Are you by any chance purchasing a car?
You betcha, Kirsty. Why?
Well, then perhaps I might make a suggestion.
Why, of course, Mrs. Carstairs.
Then do, by all means, get a motor car which has a sufficiently long speaking tube between the tonneau and the chauffeur's seat. I find it quite a strain to lean forward so much, telling Jeffers to look out for that truck.
Where?
What truck?
I don't.
I was talking to Jeffers.
Oh, yeah, I see. Well, maybe we can get a chauffeur with longer ears.
I tell you, McGee will see that we get a good car, all right, Mrs. Carstairs. He's a wonderful mechanic. Knows all about cars.
Really?
You betcha, Carsty. Now, you take this little coupe right here. This kind of car has always had one definite weakness. The horn gets stuck. 9 times out of 10, you just touch it like this, and it... You see what I mean? Sticks.
Please, McGee, don't do that. Shut it off.
I can't shut it off. It's stuck.
I think I know what to do, Mr. McGee.
What, Carsty? What?
What would you do, Mrs. Carstairs?
I would go away. Good day, my dear.
Hey, stuck. Hey, stuck. Come fix this thing. Hey, stuck. It's stuck. Hey, it's stuck, stuck. Now, looky here, Bearcut. Let's quit the stalling.
Stalling, sir?
He means, why don't you sell us the green sedan in the back there?
I've tried to explain, madam. That car is not in a saleable condition. It is not for sale.
Holding it for a friend, eh, Stutz?
I assure you I wouldn't sell that car to my best friend. Now, look, Mr. McGee, will you please consider this 1941 Chevrolet? It's in excellent condition, and I... Oh, I'm sorry, folks. My telephone again. You will excuse
Certainly.
Me.
Certainly.
Well, Natch, take your time, Bearcat. We got all day. You know, Molly, there's something fishy about him not wanting us to have that green sedan.
Well, maybe he does want us to have it. Maybe he's just trying to get us excited about it by pretending it's not for sale.
Say,
Well, my goodness, what are you folks doing here?
Well, Mayor Latrivia, how nice.
Hi, Latrivia. How's it feel to be a weak old civilian?
How did you mean that, McGee? A weak old civilian or a civilian of a week's duration?
You meant how does it feel to be out of the Coast Guard, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
To be frank, Molly, if I ever set foot on another deck, it will be because I walked through a pinochle game. And when I smell powder again, it will be on the swan-like neck of some lovely woman. Some lovely civilian woman. On a dance floor, which I have not scrubbed 5 times that day myself.
What was your rank, Latrivia?
Chief gunner's mate.
How wonderful. And who was the gunner?
Who was what gunner, Mrs. McGee?
The gunner that you were the mate of.
I was not the mate of a gunner. I myself was the gunner's mate.
Yes, but what gunner's mate?
Any gunner's mate.
Now, that's a kind of a haphazard system, ain't it, Latrivia? If a gunner can pick any mate he wants...
But he can't!
Yes, but you said that...
Look! In the Navy, the word mate means a subordinate officer having no rank, but taking precedence over enlisted men.
I thought you enlisted yourself.
I did,
then
but
if you were a mate, you took precedence over yourself.
Of course I did. I mean, no, certainly not. That is, I was
I can see why you never got to be an admiral, Latrivia. You're too easy confused.
I am not confused. Let me explain.
Please do.
Very well. Now then, I joined the Coast Guard as an apprentice seaman.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was made a first-class seaman. Then I was promoted to gunner's mate third class.
Third class, eh? You skipped the first 2 classes.
I did not skip the first 2 classes. Second class and first class come after third class.
Don't be silly, Mr. Mayor. When I was in school...
This has nothing to do with school, Mrs. A petty officer in the Navy.
Ah, now, just because you're a little irritated, Latrivia, that don't give you the right to disparage the officers of our Navy. Some of them may be petty, but by George...
I didn't say the officer. I said the petty officer. The third-classy officer. I mean the third-class petty mate. A gunner's rank. Now look! A gunner's mate is a... Is it?
Oh, it's wonderful to be home again. And do you know what you've done for me?
What, Mr. Mayor?
You have made me realize what it means to be mayor of a city like Wistful Vista. Until now, the responsibility has really worried me. But no more.
What you mean, kid?
Why, when I think that I am the civic leader of thousands and thousands of people who are probably just as dumb as you or dumber, I realize my job isn't so tough. Thank you, citizen. Good day, Molly.
Good day, Mr. Mayor.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. He sure gets worked up, don't he, Molly? He was just livid with rage.
You mean livid, dearie?
Go on, livid is a girl's name, like Livid de Havilland.
That's Olivia.
Oh, don't kid me, Snooky. Olivia is a country in South America.
That's Bolivia.
Oh, yeah? Well, then what does... Oh, hi, Bearcat. You ready to do business?
Yes, Mr. McGee, and I think this Chevrolet here is just...
Now, just a minute, Mr. Bearstutz. We want to know about this green sedan over here.
Yeah, why are you so anxious to keep us from buying that? The best-looking car in the place. Look at them perfect tires. Look at the finish and the upholstery. That's the car we want, Stutz.
Please, Mr. McGee, that car was the last model off the assembly line after war was declared. It is not complete.
We don't care. We want it.
But it doesn't have any...
Windshield wipers? So what? We can buy those ourselves.
I didn't mean that. I was referring to the...
I know, fog lights, but we don't care anything about those details, Mr. Bearcat.
Will you please let me tell you? That car hasn't got a...
Rear bumper? So what? I never learned how to back up anyway. Come on, bud. Come on. How much?
I'm warning you, Mr. McGee.
How much?
It wouldn't be fair to me if...
Quit stalling, Cy. How much?
$350. Right. But believe me...
No.
Yes, sir. Here's the cash, Bearcat. Give me a receipt before you back down again.
Oh, very well. There you are. Bill of sale and the title certificate will take a little longer.
Oh, isn't this a beautiful car, McGee, and all ours?
Yeah, for $350
bucks. Yeah, let's drive it around the block and see how it runs.
Okay. Well, where's the ignition keys, bud?
You won't need any.
Huh?
No, I told you this was the last car off the assembly line after Pearl Harbor.
So what?
So there's no motor in it.
No.
No motor? Oh, this is ridiculous.
Ladies and gentlemen, the real test of patriotism comes after the bands have stopped playing and the guns have stopped shooting.
Well, the guns have stopped shooting, folks, but our men are still in there pitching until they are returned to civil life. It's to them we owe victory, and it's to them we owe the recreational care and maintenance of morale until they do get home.
The agency which takes care of this is the National War Fund, and when you are called on to subscribe, give generously. We gave our boys a warm hand when they left. Let's not give them the cold shoulder now.
Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax Products for Home and Industry, inviting you to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Fibber McGee and Molly on Tuned to Yesterday from the 9th of October, 1945 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Up next, an amazing broadcast of the Academy Award Theater that brings actors to the Hollywood microphone that were seen on the silver screen in the same story about 15 years earlier. It's an adaptation of The Front Page, which was first a Broadway play penned by Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur, and in 1931 was an Oscar-nominated movie with Pat O'Brien and Adolph Monju. We'll hear those two actors and more next from CBS, broadcast on June 22, 1946.
The House of Squibb, manufacturing chemist to the medical profession since 1858, brings you Academy Award. The pictures, the players, the techniques and skills which have won or been nominated for the coveted awards granted each year by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. to each in his field for outstanding achievement. The House of Squibb, makers of the great family of Squibb medicinal products, today brings you two distinguished stars, Pat O'Brien and Adolphe Monjou, in the famous story of newspaper life, Front Page, which was nominated as Best Production of the Year for the 1931 Academy Award. Mr. O'Brien and Mr. Monjou will play the same roles they created for the screen, and in which Mr. Monjou was also nominated as Best Actor of the Year for the 1931 Academy Award.
This is a story of the Fourth Estate, which will prove that man didn't know when he was well off and only had three estates. This is the story of a good newspaper man who wanted to get married and go to New York. Of his tyrannical and resourceful managing editor who wanted him to stay being a newspaper man. And of other assorted matters pertaining to the case, including a guy who was to get hanged in the morning.
Covey.
Yeah, boss?
Did you find Johnson?
No, Mr. Burns, not yet. We've tried all the saloons and other places that you and Mr. Johnson usually go to, but...
The word is not go to. It is frequent. We frequent places. Frequently.
But I...
Get Hildy Johnson or else get your laundry out of your desk and get out of the city room.
I'll put another man on.
In your hat, Duffy. I'm after that bunch of lily-livered, pox-marked peanut politicians who think they're running this town, and Hildy Johnson's the only man on the staff that I can trust tonight.
We've got to have somebody at the hanging, and...
We've got to have Johnson.
Hello.
Duffy. What? What do you mean he's getting married?
Who's getting married?
Johnson.
Well, he can't do that to me.
Where is he? Okay.
Where is he? In some church?
No, a saloon.
Good, good. He's getting up his courage. He's still got a chance. I'll get over there right away.
Okay, boss.
Well, Hildy... So you're leaving me for marriage. Why?
None of your business.
Well, how did it happen, Hildy? Tell Papa Burns.
There was a moon.
Oh, I guess that lets me out. Well, I'll give you a farewell party.
Thanks, Walter.
But it hurts, Hildy. You're not telling a fellow after all I've done for you.
You mean after all you've done to me? Oh, you know, Walter, guys got to settle down sometime. Get a home, wife.
That's right, Hildy. I was never big enough to let a nice girl reform me, so I could stay in a two-room love nest at nights and walk the floor with a crying kid when the fellas were out having a lot of fun. Marriage does make a respectable citizen out of a man. It must be grand. You never have to worry about a place to go. You always know you're going home. None of this jumping around at all hours, having to be on the inside of all the crazy excitement in this town. The 5:15 out to some suburb. A home-cooked dinner at exactly 7:30 every night, and in bed by 10. Unless after the tapioca, your friends drop in for a neighborly chat. I don't blame you, Hildy. It sounds great.
Yeah. Excuse me, Waller. I just thought of something.
Two more, Mr. Burns?
Yes, Mike, fill them up. Well, that fixes Hildy Johnson's wagon, all right. No woman's gonna steal the best man I've got.
Mr. Burns.
Yes, Mike?
Mr. Johnson said to tell you should put that line on a Victrola record and play it for some country boy. He's getting married.
Why, that dirty double-crossing rat! Give me my hat!
Press room, criminal courts building.
No, no, Mabel isn't here. Endicott speaking.
Oh, hello, Mr. Burns. Why, no, no, we haven't seen him.
Hiya, slaves!
Hiya, big shot. Just a minute, Mr. Burns. Somebody just came in. Hildy, hey, Hildy Johnson.
What?
Listen, Hildy, will you do me a personal favor and talk to Waller?
He's called up about 9 million times.
What's the matter, Hildy? You scared him?
I'll talk to that maniac with pleasure. Hello, Mr. Burns.
Why, your language is shocking, Mr. Burns.
Listen, you crazy baboon. Get a pencil and paper and take this down. Get it straight because it's important. It's the Hilly Johnson curse. The next time I see you, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, I'm going to walk right up to you and hammer on that monkey skull of yours till it rings like a Chinese gong.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's telling him.
Listen, Hilly. You dirty
double-crossing
rat, you don't do exactly
what I'm saying. Listen to him! Listen, Wallers! No, I ain't going to cover the hanging. I wouldn't cover Washington crossing the Delaware if he did it all over again. Never mind the hair oil. Won't do me any good this time. Because I'm going to New York. Oh, I didn't tell you that, did I? And if you know what's good for you, you'll stay west of Gary, Indiana. Because a Johnson never forgets. And that boy's as known as what is telling off the managing editor.
Hey, why'd you quit, Hildy?
I'm getting married. See these railroad tickets 3 to New York tonight.
Tonight?
What do you mean, 3?
Me and my girl and her darling Ma.
Ha! He's in love, Tootsie Wootsie.
Does Burns know you're getting married?
Does he know? He shook hands like a pal, offered to throw me a farewell dinner.
Oh, that's his favorite joke, farewell dinner.
Sure, he poisons people at him.
Oh, hello, honey. Get me Tucker 2164, will you? Yeah, he got me into Polish mics, filled me full of rot gut, trying to bust up my marriage. Oh, hello, Peg. I know, but Oh, you bet I resigned. Yep. 11:18 tonight. Huh? The press room. I just dropped in to say goodbye, and I'll be... No, not a chance, honey. Got a taxi waiting. 10 minutes. All right. See you guys in a few minutes. I gotta make the rounds and say my farewells.
Well, there goes a good guy straight to... Well, anyway, I hear he's got a contract with an advertising agency.
What doing, writing poems about ladies' girdles?
Who dumped this out of the window on me just now?
Oh. We promise not to tell. Ah, Sheriff, it's only a spittoon.
It was Hildy Johnson, wasn't it? All right, I got a good notion to take this pest room away from you.
That would be a break.
Place is so full of cockroaches now, you can't walk.
Personally, I don't give a hoot. But how does it look when there's somebody in the death house? How do you suppose he feels listening to all this revelry?
Let you care, Sheriff, how he feels.
We're doing everything we can to...
To get your whole ticket reelected next week.
Well, when Earl Williams drops through that trap tomorrow, it's 1,000,000 votes.
Can we help it if the people rise to support this administration's stand against corruption?
Personified by Mr. Earl Williams? A guy who loses a job he's held for 14 years. Joins a parade of the unemployed. Because he's goofy from lack of food, waves a red undershirt.
Williams is a dangerous radical. And he killed a policeman.
Now, wait a minute. Once and for all, Sheriff, will you hang this guy at 5 a.m. instead of 7? It won't hurt you, and we can make a city edition.
Oh, now, Roy, you can't hang a fella in his sleep just to please a newspaper.
No. But you can keep postponing a hanging so it'll come just before the election.
With this new alien is coming in, how do we know there'll be a hanging?
Yeah. What if the professor finds he's insane or something?
He won't find he's insane because he ain't. He's as sane as I am.
Saner.
Now, here's a resume of the situation. The newspapers have got to put their shoulders to the wheel. Impress on the radicals that a death warrant for Earl Williams is a death warrant for every bomb-throwing foreigner in this town.
Hello, give me the desk. Hey, get this. The sheriff just put 200 more relatives on the payroll to protect the city against the redcoats. Raise my bet of dime.
Okay, baby, give me the desk. Hello. The sheriff just received 4 more letters threatening his life, which he is going to answer by a series of raids. And to prove it's on the square, he's going to write himself 4 more letters threatening his life. Yeah, I know he wrote them on account of the misspelling.
Desk, please. This is McHugh, Joe. More on the Williams hanging. You ready? The condemned man ate a hearty dinner. Mock turtle soup, chicken pot pie, hash brown potatoes, combination salad, and... pie a la mode.
Yeah, baby, you better get the rest of this. The condemned man ate a hearty dinner, as follows. Noodle soup, roast beef, sweet potatoes, cranberry sauce, big hunk of pastrami. Yeah, and make mine the same.
Come on, who opened it?
I did.
Shut up and give out the cards.
How many?
5.
Well, all set to go, boys. Except to say goodbye to you, bums.
I got a dumb brother who went into the advertising business, Hildy. He's got 7 kids, belongs to a country club. He gets worse every year, just a fathead.
Yeah? Listen, if you want to know something, you'll all end up in the copy desk, gray-headed humpback slobs dodging guarantees when you're 90.
Yeah, and you'll be out in the street the minute your contract's up.
Not me. My girl's uncle owns the business.
Has he got a lot of jack?
It's choking him. Look, he gave us $500 in cash for a wedding present.
There it is. Less than what it costs to get the tickets to New York.
I still say you'll rot in that overstuffed palace of blurbs that you're going to. Why, I...
Here, what goes on? Williams broke out of the death house.
Here, let me get that phone. Hurry up, sister. This is important.
Hello, Jimmy Rollins.
Come on, give me the desk.
Oh, I might have known buying them tickets was bad luck. Hello, Morning Post. Give me Walter Burns. Burns, as in STINK. Walter, Billy Johnson, Earl Williams just slammed out of the death house at the county jail. Yeah, don't worry, Walter, I'm on the job. Yeah. Call you back. Give me Walter Burns. Walter, listen. I got the whole thing. Got it from Jacoby. Sure, it's exclusive. It's a pip. Only get this. It cost me $260 to bribe the guy. The dough my girl gave me to get us to New York. Okay, all right. But don't forget to send that dough. Look, this is the jailbreak of your dreams. This profound thinker, the alienist they hired to examine Williams. Yeah, the one from Vienna. Yeah, well, he decided to make Williams reenact the crime. Shut up and listen. He had to have a gun to reenact it with. And who do you suppose supplied the gun? The sheriff. The sheriff gave his gun to the professor gave it to Earl, and Earl shot the professor right in the stomach. The professor's in the hospital, Williams has evaporated, and the sheriff's gone nuts. Ain't it perfect? Hold the phone, Walter, I'm not finished yet. Send that dough over right now. I just did this as a personal favor. I'm leaving town. No, don't. I don't get married. Tell the guy to hurry with it. I'll wait here. Oh, hello, Peggy.
And what was that?
No, nothing. I was just telling Burns I was through, that's all. Hello, darling.
Oh, now, Hildy, you haven't done something foolish with our money.
No.
Then I think I'd better take care of it from now on.
Now, sweetheart, it's going to be perfectly all right.
Oh, then you haven't got it.
No, not this minute, but he's sending it right over. Walter, I mean. He'll be here any minute.
Walter? Oh, Hildy, that man makes you do everything he wants. You're just a string around his finger.
Oh, baby, listen. I was just here by accident. Something happened. I had to use some of our money to get information. I'll get it back.
Look, Hildy, Mother's downstairs in a taxi cab. I'm just ashamed to face her. If she knew about that money, well, it's all we've got in the world, Hildy. We haven't even got a place to sleep except the train.
Well, I'll tell you what. You and Mother go over to the station and get the baggage checked. Here's the tickets.
You mean you're not coming?
Oh, of course I'm coming. I'll meet you both at the information booth.
Oh, it's all that Walter Burns. You simply can't resist him.
Come on, Hildy. Tip on Williams' hideout. We go with the riot squad.
Well, okay. Wait.
Well, you're not going with them.
Oh, Peggy, wait for me, the information.
Oh, we'll watch downstairs first to see you don't go anywhere with the riot squad.
Okay, baby. I'll just finish up here for a few minutes and meet you under the clock.
All right, Hildy. But if you don't come, I'll never trust you again. So there.
Oh, I have to get married on a day like this.
Is this the press room? I'm looking for the sheriff.
I'm the sheriff.
You're certainly a hard fellow to find.
Well, what do you want? I'm the mayor.
Well, I'm Pincus, a messenger from the State House. This is from the governor.
What's from the governor?
The reprieve for Earl Williams.
For who? Wait a minute! Who else knows about this?
Well, they were all standing around when he wrote it. It was after they got back from fishing.
Get the governor on the phone.
Ain't got a phone. They're duck shooting now.
Oh, a lot of blasted nimrods. Pure politics.
We got to think fast before those lying reporters get hold of this. What'll we tell them?
Tell them the party is through in this state on account of you. Here, you. What's your name?
Pincus.
You never arrive with this, whatever it is. Get that?
Yes, I did.
How much do you make a week?
$40.
How would you like a job for $350 a month?
Me?
All you have to do is to lay low and keep your mouth shut. Here, go to this address. It's a nice, homey little place. Tell her Fred sent you.
Listen, Burns. I'm waiting here. Where's the guy with my dough? If you try to double-cross me, I'll... Holy mackerel, I'm seeing ghosts. Earl Williams just crawled through the window. Hang up. I'll call you right back. Williams, I saw you when that searchlight went past the window. Drop that gun.
It ain't loaded. I fired all the bullets already.
I surrender. I couldn't hang onto that roof any longer. You know, I'm not afraid to die. I was telling the fellow that when he handed me the gun.
Shut up a second while I lock that door.
Waking me up in the middle of the night. Talking to me about things they don't understand. Calling me a radical. I'm an anarchist.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with bombs. It's the philosophy that guarantees every man freedom.
Yeah.
All those poor people being crushed by the system. All those boys that was killed in the war and those slaves to a crust of bread. I can hear them crying.
Shut up, will you?
Go on. Take me back. Hang me. I done my best.
Hildy! Hildy! I know you're in there. Mama says she's tired of waiting.
Oh, shut up! No, not you, Peggy. Get me the managing editor. Get me Walter Burns, but quick.
Hildy, Mama wants you to come right down this minute.
Oh, Peggy, for... Oh, Walter, something big has happened. I captured Earl Williams in the press room. Get over here right away!
All right, Hildy. Where's Earl Williams?
Did you bring my money?
You'll get your money. Where is he?
In that desk.
Let me out. I can't stand it.
Shut up. You're sitting pretty.
For the love of Mike, Mother!
What's the matter here?
Who's she? It's my girl's mother.
What are you doing?
Shut up!
I won't shut up. You're doing something wrong. What's in there?
Oh, Louie. Louie, come in here.
Yeah, boss.
Take this lady over to Black Mike's and lock her up. See that she doesn't talk to anyone on the way.
What's that?
Okay.
Oh, Waller, you can't do that.
Tell him it's a case of delirium tremens.
Listen, Waller, this will get me in a terrific jam. Don't worry, Mother. This is only temporary.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
Let go of me. I gotta get my girl.
Your girl? Why, in time of war, you could be shot for what you're trying to do.
Gone nuts! There's your story on that desk.
Story? We got the city hall where we want them. We're gonna crucify those jerks. We'll keep Williams undercover until morning, so the Morning Post can break the story exclusive. Then we'll let the governor in on the capture. He can share the glory. Why, you sap, they'll be naming streets after you over this.
Yeah, but we can't leave Williams here.
No, we'll get the boys to move him in that desk over to our office. Get that typewriter.
Huh?
Start pounding out a lead. Come on, snap into it.
How much do you want on it, Waller?
Hello, this is Burns. Put Duffy on. Snap into it. What? Hildy, give me all the words you got. Hello, Duffy. I want 10 huskies over here at the press room right away. Now listen, Duffy. I want you to tear out the whole front page. That's what I said. The whole front page out. Hildy Johnson's writing the lead.
Hildy!
What the devil do you want?
Hildy!
What?
You can't come in here, miss. Get out.
Listen, darling.
Where's Mother?
I don't care if there's a million dead, Duffy. Make room for this story.
Peggy, I gotta ask you to do something, a big favor.
You're not coming.
Take all those Miss America pictures off page 6. Hold it, Duffy.
You're doing this to him. He was going and you stopped him.
Get out of here.
Peggy, I can explain.
You'll keep your mouth shut. Hello, Duffy. What? I don't care. Junk the Louis Kahn controversy. Fight it.
Peggy, you're marrying a newspaper man, not a jug-headed fancy boy.
Oh, you never did love me, or you couldn't talk to me that way.
I can't stand it in here. I'm smothering to death.
Get back in there, you mock turtle. Not you, Duffy. Put Butch on.
Oh, this is the end.
I don't give a... Don't leave me, Peggy.
Keep it coming, Hildy boy. Get the story out. Hello, Butch. Never mind the addition for the mail train. Hold it up. Stop the presses! Listen, you're not working for the advertising department. Keep on this wire.
Boss, we hit a patrol wagon. It was on the wrong side of the street.
Where's Mother?
I should know. She beat it someplace, I guess, or they took her to the morgue.
You moron. Didn't you even lock her up someplace?
I couldn't, boss. I told you we hit a patsy wagon and I'm that way with the cops just now.
Oh, she's dead. Dead. That finishes me. I killed her. I let you send her away. Now how can I face Peggy?
If it was my own mother, I'd carry on. For the paper.
You better get me out of this desk. I'm
choking. Shut up, you. It's better than hanging.
There they are, Sheriff.
Yeah, all right, all right. Wise guys. Thought you were going to get away with something, didn't you? We know you got Williams.
Yeah, where are you hiding him, you double-crossing heel?
Let go of me. My mother is dead.
Who do you think you are busting in here like
you
this?
You can't bluff me, Burns. I don't care who you are or what paper you're editor of.
Let go of me, Sheriff, or...
Let me go! Let go of me, you punks!
Hey, he's got a gun.
Give me that.
I got a right to carry a gun if I want it.
Not this gun. This happens to be the gun that Earl Williams shot his way out with. You're under arrest, Johnson. You too, Burns.
Who's under
under arrest, you pinhead. You realize what you're doing?
Yep.
Send for the mayor, boy.
I won't make up with him, Mother.
Who did it, madam?
That man there, officer.
Mother, are you all right, Mother?
What's the idea? What are you cops doing in here?
This dame says she was kidnapped.
That man was in charge of everything. He told them to kidnap me.
Are you referring to me, madam?
Ah, kidnapping, eh?
And I'll tell you something more. I'll tell you why they did it.
Please, Mother! Come on, Hildy, we gotta get bail.
I was in here, and they had some kind of a murderer. They were hiding him.
They were what?
Mother, shut up!
Madam, you're a cock-eyed liar.
Don't shoot. I'm smothered. I give up. Let me out.
Uh-huh. Harboring a fugitive from justice.
That's him. That's the one they were hiding.
Oh, you gray-haired old Judas.
Ah, so you got him, eh, Sheriff? Good work. Good work.
Yep, Mayor, there they are. Look kind of natural, don't they, with those handcuffs on?
Sheriff, you're going to wish you'd never been born. A sight for sore eyes. Well, it looks like you boys bit off more than you can chew.
Yep, looks like about 10 years apiece for them.
Now, go suck your fat head.
These guys are going to be in office about 2 days more than we're pulling their noses out of the feed bag.
I sent for the district attorney. You know what you smart boys will be doing, making brooms at the state pen.
I want a lawyer. I got a right to have a lawyer. Hildy, call my lawyer.
No lawyers are going to be able to help you, Burns.
This is the Morning Post you're talking to.
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, the power of the press.
Sheriff in here?
Yeah, the ugly one. That's your man.
Here's your reprieve, Sheriff.
Get out of here!
You can't bribe me.
What's this?
Get out of here, you! I won't. Here's your reprieve.
What?
I won't take their graft or their bribes. I'm a family man.
Who was bribing you?
They were. They wouldn't take the governor's reprieve for William.
This is a frame-up.
Or murder, huh? You were going to murder William.
Oh. Mr. Pincus, you are a stirring character. A really great man. Now just step right over to this phone and dictate your true story of how the mayor and the sheriff defied an order of the governor of this state. And we're going to go ahead and hang a man that had been reprieved just so they could make a little character before an election. Step right over here, Mr. Pincus.
Now, wait a minute, boys. Wait a minute. Maybe we've been too hasty. Let's talk this thing over. Take their handcuffs off, you blundering idiot.
Yes, sir.
Right over this way, Mr. Pincus. If you're going to print my story in the paper, maybe you'd like this picture of my wife.
Why, Mr. Pincus, how thoughtful of you. A very, very handsome woman.
Thank you.
Hildy, get on that phone. Hello, Duffy. Listen. Tear out that whole front page. Yeah, tear it out again.
Oh, Hildy. Are we really going to New York this time?
You know we are, darling.
Why, I wouldn't let him stay. Go on, Hildy, before I make you city editor.
Hurry up, Peggy. Better get that train. He means it.
Any objections to my kissing the bride?
No. Go ahead. Kiss the guy, Mrs. Johnson.
I wish there was time to get you a little wedding present, but... Wait a minute. This watch of mine...
Oh, no, Waller. You make me feel like the bride.
Shut up. It was a present from the big boss himself. If you look inside, you'll find a little inscription... To the best newspaper man I know. When you get to New York, Hildy, you can scratch out my name and put yours in its place, if you want to.
Oh, you know I wouldn't do that.
Oh, go on, Hildy, if Mr. Burns wants you to. You don't want to hurt his feelings.
Well, this is the first and last thing I ever got from a newspaper.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Burns. You know, I always had a queer opinion of you, Mr. Burns. I still think you're a little peculiar, and so does Mother. But you're all right. Underneath, I mean. I think you're a peach.
So are you. You look just like a little flower.
Goodbye, you big baboon.
Goodbye.
Hello. Hello, Duffy. What's the first stop of the 1240 to New York? That's right. I want you to send a wire to the chief of police. Tell him to meet that train and arrest Hildy Johnson and bring him back here. Wire him a full description. The dirty bum stole my watch.
Another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Awards starring Frederick March in A Star is Born.
The Academy Award Theater on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from June 22, 1946. And that brings to a close this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.